We will end planning by buckets. We plan transit separate from how we plan pedestrians, separate from how we plan the other aspects of it. Transit is different than peds, is different than bikes. It's hard to explain sometimes because I sound a little wonky, but we really do need to look at it as an integrated process. We need to look at any given neighborhood. Let's take the U District, for example, where we're sitting, as a corridor. And buses will work on some streets, and bicycle lanes will work on other streets. And we need to look at the data that will tell us what is the most efficient and the safest way for folks to move through a particular corridor. I mean, on bicycles alone, we have fallen behind other cities in the number of people who are riding bicycles. I mean, Minneapolis is ahead of us now, and they have snow and ice.
But they're also flat.
Yeah, they're flat. Yeah, I mean,
I just have to say
that would never hills never stand in the way of Seattleites who want to bike. And I think on the bicycle issue, you know, there's been questions about do I support bicycle lanes? The answer is yes, but I support bicycle lanes that are safe, and I don't believe we've built a particularly safe system. And I think that we have mixed them often into situations where you're between a car door and a car and a bus, and that's not the best place for a bicyclist.
Are you talking about things like the sharrows?
Well, I think we need to have grade separation, and I think parallel streets sometimes. Sometimes the neighborhood street might be the more appropriate place than the street where there are cars and buses and streetcars.
How do you incentivize people to get out of their single-occupancy vehicles and either, if they want to ride a bike, or mass transit, which is, for a lot of people, more attractive than riding up a hill?
You know, the urban village concept was based on walkable, healthy communities. And I think if we return to that concept and you have places that people can easily walk to, that's one aspect of it. But the other aspect of it is we have grown to a $1.8 billion backlog in sidewalk and street maintenance. The mayor says that that's not his fault. If I'm mayor, it will be my fault. I will take responsibility. Because if you look at what Vancouver, British Columbia did, they decided the first thing that they would do is build out their pedestrian structure, to repair their sidewalks, to create connectivity throughout the city. And I think if you start there, you get to what you want, people biking, people taking the bus. Because whether you walk or bike or get on transit or get in your car, you usually need the sidewalk. So I think going back to basics isn't saying we don't want to do transit and we don't want to do bicycles, but we want people to do it.
Excuse me, because when you mentioned Vancouver, it raises a flag. It's an interesting comparison because the Vancouver developers were required to pay for a lot of that infrastructure. They have very different laws about, you know, when somebody builds a big building, what that somebody has to provide. And we can't require the kinds of things that developers have paid for instead of the government of Vancouver, BC.
That's right. Property in Canada and in most common law based countries do not have rights, and property here has rights, and it makes it far more difficult. I don't think that's a reason to step back from trying to build out the connectivity on a pedestrian basis in our neighborhoods and between our neighborhoods.
You mentioned urban villages, which I suppose brings us full circle back to growth and development. I haven't heard that term in a very long time. Mm. Is Seattle's current permitting and zoning and building department governed by that concept of urban villages, or have we left that somewhere?
We've left it. And Peter Steinbrück, who endorsed me yesterday, pointed out that we basically have shelved it. And I think as a result, we've come up with some pretty disconnected ways of growing, the types of buildings, what they look like, where they end up. And I think it's what's caused a lot of the frustration that you hear and fear about growth on the part of citizens. They don't understand what's going to happen to their neighborhoods. And I think if we can go back and revise those plans for the 21st century, we can, I think, calm people down a little bit because they'll understand what's going to happen.